Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, I'm Cynthia Pooler, and I'm going to speak with my friend Melissa Ward Rathbun today. And Melissa is a social media expert, and we're going to have an overview of social media. So, Melissa, how are you?
I'm doing really well, Cynthia. Thank you for having me today.
So, you know, you and I go back to the early 2000s. You actually created my first website. And
I remember that.
Yes. And, you know, a lot has changed since those days. There was no Facebook then. There was no Twitter then. So you're going to talk about an overview of social media. So take the floor. Where would you start?
It's such a huge topic, really.
I know.
So a little bit about me. So I've owned a digital marketing firm called New Ward Development since 1999. So I've been working online for over 20 years. Most of our work today is done in social media management for small businesses, as well as website design development, and we also host websites. So we have our own set of servers and, you know, people who host with us. We manage their WordPress websites and make sure that everything is kept up to date and all that sort of fun stuff. But over the course of the last 20 years, what works in social media has changed a lot. It used to be that you could just post and share information about your business and it would get noticed and people would respond to it. Now, it's really a mixture of organic as well as paid content. And there's a lot more platforms, right? It's not just Facebook anymore. It's Facebook, it's Twitter, it's YouTube. It's Instagram, it's Snapchat, it's TikTok, there's LinkedIn. I mean, there's just so many platforms out there. So one of the first things that I tell people to do is, you know, pick two platforms that really where you are going to find your audience. So you need to know who it is that you're going to be speaking to. The majority of B2C, which is business to consumer, you know, kind of end products, do really well on, say, Facebook and Instagram. B2B products, you know, a lot of people think of LinkedIn because it's predominantly a business-to-business service. Twitter and TikTok is also, I would say, more B2C. And Twitter is a great information platform. So there's just, you know, so much out there that you really have to have a plan to be able to tackle it all. Just a little while ago, you and I were talking about your radio show, right? How do you get that out to more people? So when you have specific topics like today is social media, it's really more business related. You know, maybe you don't share that necessarily on your personal Facebook page. It goes on your business page, it goes on LinkedIn, you know, you can share it to various platforms and try to pick up new audience members. On Facebook, you have the opportunity to have both a personal profile, a business page, as well as groups. So groups are really a grouping of rather targeted people, you know, what is it that they all have in common or what kind of information are they all trying to garner? I know, what other specific questions do you have that might help me kind of moving forward?
I really didn't jot down a set of questions. I just figured, you know, you could talk about an overview of social media, how it's evolved over the years. From when we first talked back in the early 2000s until now, what would you say how it has evolved?
So there's a lot more noise, right? So you have to be seen and heard through a very busy news feed, right? Social media basically works by through algorithms, right? So it's things that you respond to, things that you react to, you're going to see more of that. Things that you just scroll by and ignore, you will interact with less and less. And you can actually train the algorithms to give you the information that you need. A good example is today's political environment, right? So a lot of people react to posts that they resonate with. So they're going to see more of those types of posts from either people in their newsfeed or from other groups or from business pages that, you know, kind of dedicate themselves to that sort of stuff. A good example would be I have a client who makes goat milk soaps. And when she and I started together probably about 4 years ago, she had a so-so website and not really much of a social media presence. And she was only making a couple of hundred bucks a month off of her soaps. Her first goal was to be able to quit her day job so that she could do this full time. And through the use of Facebook and I guess a little bit of LinkedIn, but predominantly Facebook, we were able to build up her customer base. And that's through daily postings, some paid advertising to targeted users, people who we think would be attracted to her product, that kind of thing. And then we rebuilt her website in WordPress and gave her a better shopping cart system. And then she quickly outgrew that. And now she has a Shopify website. And, you know, we've taken her from, you know, say $1,000 a month to today she's averaging $18,000 to $20,000 a month. But there's a lot of ad spend in there. So it's a big leap, right, over the course of the past, you know, handful of years. But we're also spending more on advertising. So her soaps can be found in some Whole Foods stores, so that's a great target market. So one of the things that we do is we target people who like Whole Foods, and we try to bring them to her Facebook page or to her website to be able to introduce those people to her brand. And then typically once people become buyers, then they become repeat buyers, right? And that's always what you want to see, right? You want to see people not just by once, you want them to come back time and time again. And she has a consumable product, right? I mean, a bar of soap lasts a couple of weeks or a month or what have you. So people need to come back and reorder. Now we're getting more into subscription-type orders, right? So you can auto-subscribe so that every month, you know, you get your soap order or your skincare order or things like that, which creates more stable cash flow. So those are the things that we look at. She advertises predominantly on Facebook and Instagram. We do post to Twitter and LinkedIn because she also accepts wholesale customers. So for wholesale purposes, we share more of that stuff on LinkedIn than we would on, say, a Facebook. Facebook and Instagram is dedicated more to the end product user. So, again, it's about knowing where to post and what to post, not posting the same thing across all platforms, different messages for different audiences, and using tools, right? So we use Hootsuite to help us schedule posts out for LinkedIn and Twitter, and we use the Facebook Business Suite to be able to post natively on both Facebook and Instagram. So that helps. That helps kind of ease the workload, if you will.
So how many people, you deal basically with people who have businesses and want to promote themselves. What percentage of people would you say actually know how to navigate social media to their benefit?
That's a really good question. I would say it's a fairly small percentage. Because these tools are free, right, Facebook, it's free to post on Facebook, it's free to post on Twitter, it's free to post on Instagram, a lot of people just kind of splatter stuff around and hope for the best. What you really need is a plan and goals, right? You need to understand what is it that you're trying to accomplish by doing this. And if it's, you know, you want more people to sign up for your newsletter, you want more people to hit the buy now button, you want more people, you know, that kind of stuff, and to target it, right? So you're looking for people who are business owners, or you're looking for people who like organic products, or you're looking for small businesses because you're an accounting firm. I also do work with an estate law firm, and, you know, we have a couple of different targets, and based on those targets, you know, the messaging changes, right? So somebody who is, say, my age, really one of the biggest problems that they face is, you know, how to help their parents, right? So through elder care and all that sort of stuff. So that message is going to be different than for a couple who is in their 60s or 70s who really need to start looking at protecting their assets. That message is going to be different than people who maybe just got married or just had a child who need paperwork to be able to determine, you know, what happens if, God forbid, something happens to them, you know, who cares for the child and all that sort of fun stuff. So different groupings, different messaging for different target markets. We don't all serve, right, the same person. So when I look at a client and I say, you know, who do you want to buy your product? And their answer is everyone, that's not the right answer. But yet, right, when they post on social media, they tend to post to everyone. It's not a targeted message. You know, one of the biggest things that we've been talking about for years is, you know, what pain do you solve in people's lives? For me, right, so most people are too busy to take social media seriously. Most business owners are too busy to take social media seriously. So that's how I help. I take social media off their plate, and I do it for them. So I manage their social media accounts. I, you know, take care of their ad buying. We, you know, write blog posts. We write their newsletter. We do SEO for their websites, you know, that kind of thing, because – you know, the president of a 20, 50, 100-person company is not going to be paying attention to those things. It's just not in the bandwidth. And they shouldn't have to, right? They're there to make the company grow in different ways and to share their vision on how, you know, the company is going to move forward. So I take that responsibility off of their plate and, you know, and I share with them the progress along the way.
Would you say that social media is generational, meaning, you know, I'm a baby boomer and I have friends who won't even consider getting on Facebook or other platforms where younger people are all over it. So would you say that social media is more or less generational and the older type people shy away from it?
So yes and no. I think it depends on the platform. I don't see a grandparent getting on TikTok for the most part or really paying too much attention to Instagram. But they'll go on Facebook because they want to be able to see what their kids and their grandkids are doing. My husband has no social media presence whatsoever. It's a totally not interested for him. He'll go through the Facebook marketplace, you know, kind of thing, but other than that, he doesn't really have any profiles or anything to speak of because it's just not where he wants to be. I have an aunt who's 80 years old who is on Facebook, so she can keep in touch with friends of hers that are in Florida, and see what, you know, like me and the kids are doing, or see what her kids and grandkids are up to, that kind of stuff. So it's not just generational, it's also purpose. What's your purpose? I think that the Facebook demographic is getting older, whereas the other platforms, people who are of older generations, baby boomers, for example, are not as quick to adapt the new platforms. Very few baby boomers, I think, are on something like Snapchat. It's definitely a younger audience. My daughter, who is a 20-something, posts more to Instagram and Snapchat than she does on Facebook. Those are her preferred platforms. So depending upon who your target market is, if you're targeting 20-somethings, if you're targeting Gen Ys, then you want to be in the place where they're going to be. So you're going to be on a Snapchat. You're going to be on a, you know, on an Instagram or a TikTok and things like that.
Now, for the most part, do people, whether they're younger or older, do you think that they're aware of all of the platforms that are available to them?
I think that the younger generation is. Maybe the older generation does know, simply because, you know, certain these things make the news, right? So TikTok videos are shown on the 6 o'clock news. So I think that that's what how the older generation becomes more aware of these things. Video in any form is really huge, right? So all the platforms are embracing video in a big way because it's a great way to capture people's attention. You have a video that's, you know, from a few seconds long, like on a TikTok, to several minutes long on Instagram or Facebook or YouTube. You know, if I am looking how to do something, right, so I Google how do I, you know, X, Y, Z, and I end up, 9 times out of 10, I end up on YouTube with a YouTube video that shows me how to fix my refrigerator. Here's a good example. My refrigerator was broken about a month or so ago, and so I Googled the problem, and it took me to a video on YouTube and showed me how I would be able to fix it at home. And that's exactly, we followed those directions and we were able to solve the problem. So it goes to purpose, right? And the people who create those videos are not necessarily, the guy who created the video is not selling refrigerators. He's not even selling refrigerator repair services. He's making money off of the advertising that happens that you receive prior to watching the video. So there's a bunch of different ways to be able to monetize social media. And again, it just kind of goes to what your end goal is.
I keep going back to when we first met back in the early 2000s to now. During the last 4 years of Bill Clinton's administration, there were only couple of thousand websites. Today there is millions, maybe billions. I wouldn't know. Do you think that social media and what's going on on the internet is still in its infancy stages?
That's a really good question. So I think that social media is trying to move into a more live experience. So things like virtual reality, things like 3D, those are the things that are kind of still in their infancy. Something as simple as using a chat on a website, right? So you go to a website and maybe this little chat thing pops up that says, hey, how can I help you today? To engage the user. A lot of that gets pushed through social media. It's actually Facebook messaging, you know, kind of in the background, those kinds of things. Integration across channels. still not perfected, but something that everybody's kind of aiming for, but yet while they still keep their proprietary stuff secret. You know, so everybody has these APIs that allows you to use, say, Facebook for logging into a membership website, or LinkedIn for logging into other tools, and integrating all of those pieces together so that, you know, when Cynthia Pooler is on Facebook, you know, whatever she did is carried into Instagram, is carried into a website, is carried into, you know, some other third-party thing. And sites like, you know, Google say, well, we do that to personalize the experience more. But they really do that so that they can advertise to you better. The more information that you give, the better they have the opportunity of targeting you for things that are specific, right? So doing things like paid search used to be based on keywords alone, right? So if you type in, you know, how do I fix my refrigerator, and somebody is buying that phrase, yes, you're going to see their website. But moreover, when you go to a social media site afterwards, you're still going to see information about that business, because now that business has the opportunity to retarget you to get you to a different place. So it's become more complicated in a way, more Big Brother-like in many ways. And there are services, you know, like Apple recently created a way for their users to be able to block some information that that is given to websites, so that it makes it harder to retarget them when they get to a different platform. So things like privacy and that kind of stuff is certainly in its infancy. So how do you keep people's information private and yet still be able to satisfy, you know, those that pay you, the advertisers, you know, for being able to target the people that they're looking to do business with? And those are big questions that really haven't been answered completely. You know, government regulation is trying to get involved, and the EU is, you know, all sorts of protections in place, more so than here in the United States. Some countries have even banned Facebook. So there's a lot to it, but I think at the end of the day, the social media sites are trying to create a more holistic and well-rounded experience, whereas, you know, and Google focuses on user experience as well as keywords and demographics now. And so it's really more about targeting. It's more about getting in front of the right people. It's not just, and most business owners still are just kind of splattering information around without much thought.
Now, when people think about finding information, they say Google it.
Right.
But is Google, I mean, there's got to be more than one search engine for people to find information other than Google, right?
Oh, sure. So there's Yahoo, there's Bing, there's Yandex, which is, you know, Eastern Europe. There's a ton of different search engines, all of which kind of have their own purpose, right? So if I want to, if I have a very cost-conscious client, but they want to get into pay-per-click advertising, I may not use Google. I may use Bing instead, because it's not as widely used and the pricing structure is different from Google. And it's typically more cost-effective. So, again, it kind of goes to you have to be strategic, right? So on a Google, you're going to get more users. You're going to get a lot more people because Google is no longer just the name of the platform. It's become its own verb, right? You don't say search
right.
for something. Most people say, oh, just go Google it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's become a verb.
Mm-hmm.
So it is by far the biggest. Plus, Google owns YouTube. So there's definitive advantages to that. And the majority of websites that use AdSense to be able to earn income, they all do that through Google. So on Google, you have the opportunity to be stretched out across more platforms because they kind of cornered the market on that. So if you accept advertising on your website when people are searching for certain things or people are on your website and they're doing, you know, certain things, if I'm an advertiser on Google and I use display ads and I allow third-party advertising, my ad could show up on your website, which, you know, that's a whole different audience than, you know, some other website.
What I do podcasts, which turns into radio shows here in Albany. And what I like about the whole concept is you don't have to be a millionaire to buy a station. You could have equipment right in your house to do radio interviews. And if you have a great social media presence, you could get your message out, and I think that is so powerful. Wouldn't you agree?
I do. I mean, podcasting, I think, is completely underestimated. And now a lot of doing live video has sort of taken over podcasting. Zoom can integrate with Facebook and YouTube, and, you know, people can watch, you know, live interviews. It happens visually, but podcasting is a great form. You know, you have some great sound if you have yourself a good microphone and you can get the distribution, then podcasting really, you know, has the opportunity to take off. Websites like SoundCloud give you a hosting platform for next to free, and you can create as many episodes as you want.
Right,
it really
right.
depends. Well, you know, the follow-up to that is the attention span, right? So if I'm going to be in the car for 3 hours, you know, I can listen to a bunch of podcasts.
Right.
But if I'm just sort of, you know, half listening and working at the same time, then I'm going to want something that's shorter, right? I'm going to want something that's, you know, 10 minutes or so, or, you know, as opposed to an hour and a half.
So, Melissa, a half hour goes by really quick when you're talking about something interesting. So our time is up for today. You've been listening. I'm sorry, Melissa. Give out your contact information.
Sure. So I can be found at newward.com. That's newward.com. You can email me at Melissa, M-E-L-I-S-S-A, at newward.com. And if you search for me on the social network, search for Melissa Ward hyphen Rathbun, and you are sure to find me, or search for New Ward. And it's been a pleasure, Cynthia. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. You've been listening to Melissa Ward Rathbun. I'm Cynthia Pooler. So, we'll do other shows and keep people up to snuff on what's going on social media. Thanks, Melissa. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.
Bye. Have a great day.